Hello again. Welcome to Lesson 4. This lesson is called Working with Long Documents, and we'll be concentrating on features that will help you to design, record, and revise documents that are longer than one page. For example, we'll learn how to save and recall standard or frequently used margins and tabs. Rather than stopping to change the format line, you can set the margins and tabs you need and then quickly recall them without slowing your typing rhythm. We'll also learn how to page through a document and how to add pages to the beginning, middle, or end of a document. Later in the lesson, we'll learn how to move and duplicate blocks of text. Finally, we'll go back and delete a page and delete a document. We have a busy lesson, so let's begin. Figure 4-1 describes our learning goals and the materials and preparation we'll need for the lesson. Turn to Figure 4-1. Read through the objectives, gather the materials, and prepare for the lesson. Go ahead, do that now. The short documents we prepared in Lesson 3 introduced you to basic word processing. You centered lines, aligned numbers and columns, and indented paragraphs. It would be nice if all documents were short, but anyone familiar with business communications knows that while many office documents are short, most of them are longer than one page. For our purposes, we're going to call any document that is more than one page a long document. You can prepare and revise long documents by using all the features and instructions you've already learned. But long documents have some unique characteristics, and we should review these before you begin to type. Turn to Figure 4-2 and follow the instructions while we discuss long documents. Go ahead. Turn to Figure 4-2 now. The format of a page advertises its contents. A pleasing appearance attracts the reader. For a long document, a pleasing appearance tells the reader that the document is organized, well thought out, and professional. Each illustration in the figure highlights a characteristic that adds to the appearance of a long document. The first illustration shows each page typed in a consistent format. When you type a long document, it becomes second nature to set the margins and tabs on the first page and then forget about them while you type the other pages. Along with the format decisions, you can accent the format by printing justified or with bold or underlined titles. Often the cosmetic design is what first attracts the reader. The second illustration shows you how the established format for a long document can sometimes change. Charts, indented paragraphs or texts with a different line spacing may temporarily interrupt the format. But once you have typed the chart, indented paragraph, or text with different line spacing, you always return to the established format to continue typing. The third illustration demonstrates a Murphy's Law principle. The longer a document is, the more often it's revised. Revisions are necessary, and Scriptsit will help you speed through revisions in which paragraphs are shifted from page to page, or where pages are inserted at the beginning, middle, or end of the document. The fourth illustration shows how to keep track of revisions. Once it's finally approved, a long document, such as a policy or procedures manual, a research report, or a standard sales proposal, requires few changes. The additions, deletions, or other changes that are necessary can be scheduled into your regular work routine. Now, because of these characteristics of long documents, you need to learn about the Scriptsit features that will help you to prepare long documents. In particular, you need to learn how to end one page and begin the next page, how to recall a page to make changes, and how to add a page to the document. That sounds like a lot of different instructions, but ending, recalling, and adding pages are all part of one instruction, the Get instruction. And for your first practice in this lesson, you're going to work with the Get instruction to make changes to a proposal recorded on the Scriptsit diskette. To begin the practice, the directory page should be on the screen. Take a few minutes now to check the system and to load Scriptsit if it's necessary. Go ahead, do that now. Look through the directory until you see the document called Proposal. Since the proposal is already recorded, you can either open the document and change it, or copy the document and then work with the duplicate. With a long document, it's a good practice to copy the document, and then once you've revised the duplicate, you can delete the original. By copying the document, you're protecting the original recording until it's not needed. We're going to copy the proposal and then come back and open the duplicate document. To do that, position the cursor in the cell that contains the document name, Proposal, and then type the letter C to copy the document. Go ahead, find the proposal, position the cursor on it, and type the letter C. Do that now. Next, press Enter to skip the password prompt. Go ahead. The Copy Document menu page has four prompts. Two are already answered. The Scriptset diskette is the source disk, and the name of the source document is Proposal. The next two prompts ask you to assign a name to the duplicate proposal and to indicate where the proposal should be copied. To a diskette in drive 0, 1, 2, or 3. For our practice, we'll call the duplicate proposal Green Grass, and we'll copy the proposal on the Scriptset diskette in drive 0. So, to answer this prompt, type the words Green Grass, then press Enter, and then press Escape. Go ahead, do that now. The prompt you see now gives you the chance to confirm that you're copying the document onto the Scriptset diskette, or that you're going to use another Scriptset diskette in drive 0. If you were going to use another diskette, you would type the letter N and press Enter. But because we're going to copy on the same diskette, the prompt is already answered. All you should do is press Enter or Escape to begin the copy process. But before you do that, I'll describe what will happen. Each page of the proposal will appear briefly on the screen, and then a copy of the page will be recorded in the Green Grass document. When all the pages are copied, the directory will appear on the screen again. It won't take very long, but you don't have to keep the tape on while the proposal is being copied. Okay, press Escape and copy the proposal. Go ahead. We're back at the directory again. Now it's time to open the Green Grass document and revise it. To open a document means to recall it. Whenever you want to change or add to a document, you open it. And to open a document, you'll use the arrow keys or type the cell number to position the cursor at the beginning of the line that contains the document name, and then type the letter O. Type the number 2 to position the cursor in the cell that contains the Green Grass document. Then type the letter O. Go ahead. This document doesn't have a password, so press Enter to skip it. Do that now. The Open Document menu for the Green Grass document is on the screen. Note the responses to the prompts. When you open a document, the responses stored with the document appear on the screen. Two of the responses are particularly important: the number of lines for each page and the activity level. One important reason for copying a document involves the activity level. In Lesson 2, when we talked about the activity level, we said that the amount of activity is a factor in a document's efficiency rating. When you store a document coded with a high activity level, you expect it to be revised several times. Scriptset anticipates the revisions by recording extra space with each page on the diskette. Thus, if you record too many high activity documents, you're wasting a lot of diskette space. You won't be able to store as many documents on the diskette as you would if you stored them coded with a medium or low activity level. But if you often revise a document that has a low activity level, it takes the system longer to record a page or find a page when you want to display it and make changes. So the low activity level reduces the efficiency rating for an often revised document. Look at the activity level prompt. Do you see anything about this prompt that's different from the Create Document menu? Well, when you use the same menu to create a document, there were only three activity levels to choose from: high, medium, and low. But now that the document is already typed and stored on the disk, it's possible that no further activity would be required. So when you open the document, you could change the activity level to none by typing an N in answer to the activity level prompt. In fact, the only way to change the activity level is to open the document and change the activity level in the Open Document menu. Then go back and copy the document. This redistributes the space for the document on the diskette. Then you can delete the original document, which of course redistributes more space. We're going to keep the medium activity level for now, but once a document has been revised, and you don't expect it to be revised much more, you should change the activity level to low in the Open Document menu, and then copy the document and delete the original. The last response to note is the number of lines for each page. Each page can now have no more than 25 lines. If you want to change the number of lines on each page, you type a new number for this prompt, and then any new page you type will contain the new number of lines. We aren't going to change the activity level, the lines per page, or any other response to a prompt. We're going to keep the menu page as it is. But before you press Escape to keep the menu page, turn to figures 4-3 and 4-4 and read the summary information about copying a document and opening a document. When you finish reading, press Escape to lock the menu prompts in place. Go ahead. Turn to figures 4-3 and 4-4. You are looking at the title page of a proposal made by the Green Grass Lawn Care Service. As you can see, the lines are centered. The format for the page is shown in the status line. Let's review the status line now, so you know what to watch for when you make changes. First, on the left side of the status line, you see the name of the document, Green Grass, and the page number, page 1. The cursor is positioned on line 1 and at the 34th character on the line. We'll skip over the window mode for now and go on to the line spacing. You can change the line spacing for every paragraph, but no matter how many times you change the line spacing, text will always appear single-spaced on the screen. When you print, each paragraph will be in the line spacing you entered for it. That's why the line spacing indicator has two numbers. The first number shows the line spacing of the paragraph the cursor is positioned within. The second number shows the line spacing of any new paragraph you type. Right now, the first line spacing indicator is set for double spacing and the second for single spacing, which means that the text on the screen will be double spaced when you print it. But unless you change the line spacing, any new text you type will be single-spaced. The last two indicators in the status line show that the margins are set at 15 and 65 and that the outline mode is selected. As we work with other pages in the proposal, you'll notice that the paragraphs are not indented. But even though they aren't, an indication for an outline tab appears in the format line. The outline tab is part of the default format line. The outline mode in the status line is also a default setting because the system anticipates that you will want to indent the first line of paragraphs. In almost every situation, you will keep the outline mode setting. Then if you don't want to indent paragraphs, erase the outline tab from the format line. All right. If you remember the information included with the document name in the directory, you know that the Green Grass proposal has 5 pages. If you want to look at any of the other pages, you must tell the system to get the page. And when you get a page, you use one of the get instructions. The get instructions are extremely versatile. We'll talk about and practice 3 get instructions. Then we'll discuss the other get instructions and either practice them or describe how they are used. The 3 get instructions we'll discuss enable you to page through a document. For example, if you are curious about the Green Grass proposal and just want to look through the pages one at a time, you would get the next page, read through it, then get the next page, read through it, and so on until you had read all 5 pages. When you reach page 5 and want to go back to the beginning of the proposal, you can get page 1, get the beginning page, or get the previous page again, and then again until you are back at page 1. You can get the next page, the previous page, the beginning page, the ending page, or a specific page. The instructions have a short, medium, and long version. We'll discuss the short and medium versions, then you can read about all of them and practice the one you like best. To begin a GET instruction, press Control and without releasing Control, type the letter G. Press Control G now. Go ahead. The prompts at the bottom of the screen ask you whether you want to add a new page, get the beginning page, get the previous page, get the next page, get the ending page, or get a specific page number. Let's get a specific page, page 3. Type the number 3, then press Enter. Go ahead. Do that now. The third page of the Green Grass proposal, which begins with the word Research, is now on the screen. The status line also confirms that you are on page 3. So, pressing Control and G together, then typing a page number and pressing Enter will display a specific page. To get the next page, you have a choice. You can press Control and G together, then type the letter N and press Enter. Or you can enter the fast Get Next Page instruction by pressing Control and without releasing Control, typing the letter N. Press Control N now. Go ahead. The next page, page 4, is now on the screen. So you can answer the prompts or press Control and N together to get the next page. Now, suppose you want to get page 3 again. You can press Control and G together, then type the number 3 and press Enter. Or you can enter the fast Get Previous Page instruction by pressing Control and without releasing Control, typing the letter P. Press Control P now. Go ahead. Page 3 is back on the screen, and you know three ways to get pages. Besides displaying pages that are already recorded, the Get instruction enables you to record new pages and either add them to the end of the document or insert them at any place in the document. Here is how these instructions work. When you first create a document, after you type page 1 and want to begin page 2, enter the Get Next Page instruction. The Get instruction records the page and clears the screen so you can type new text. When you open a document to add more pages to the end of it, you can enter the Get Ending Page instruction and then the Next Page instruction, and a blank page will appear. Or you can enter the Get instruction that tells the system to add the page to the end of the document. As you know, when you press Control and G together, the Get prompts appear at the bottom of the screen. By answering the prompt that says, Add New Page, you're telling the system to find the end of the document and display a blank page that has the same format as the last paragraph that was typed. So when you press Control and G together, and then type an A for Add, and then press Enter, the system begins a new page at the end of the document. When you finish typing the new page, you can record it by entering any Get instruction, by selecting the Print utility, or by going back to the directory. We're going to practice this Get instruction by adding a page to the end of this proposal. Press Control and G together, and then type the letter A and press Enter. Go ahead. Do that now. The cursor is at the beginning of page 6, which you can confirm by looking at the page indicator in the status line. The page we're going to add is shown in figure 4-5. Turn to the figure, review the instructions, and read through the page. Go ahead. If you check the format line, and you know that the current margins and line spacing are correct for the page, you're ready to type. Type the page in figure 4-5, and when you finish, enter the Get Next Page instruction. Go ahead. Do that now. Page 6 is recorded, and now the cursor is at the beginning of a blank page 7. This brings up a situation that will happen frequently. Here you are with a blank screen, but you have nothing to type. You have begun page 7, and if you get another page, or print, or go back to the directory, this blank page will be recorded. We're not going to be concerned about this blank page right now, but we will come back to it later and learn how to delete it. We still have one more get instruction to discuss and practice, getting a page between two pages. The page in Figure 4-6 should be typed and inserted into the proposal after the title page. Turn to Figure 4-6, review the instructions, and see if you can guess how to insert this page into the proposal. Go ahead, do that now. Inserting a page between two pages is something that you must often do when you revise a long document. You could, of course, type this page at the end of the document and then rearrange the pages after they are printed. But that means you'll have to remember where the page is every time you work with the document. It's not a practical solution, especially if you must open the document again at a later date in order to make other revisions. When you want to insert a page between two others, get a decimal page number. A decimal page number begins with an existing page number and is followed by a decimal point and then a number from 1 to 9. For example, the text in Figure 4-6 must follow page 1. Page 1 already exists, so you can get page 1.1 for the new page. The get instruction for a decimal page number is the same as the get instruction for a specific page number. Press Ctrl and G together, then type the page number and press Enter. Let's do this together. Press Ctrl and G together, then type the number 1, period, 1, and press Enter. Go ahead. The page indicator in the status line confirms that you are working on page 1.1, and the blank screen is ready for you to begin typing. Type the text in Figure 4-6. When you finish, enter the Get Next Page instruction to record the new page. Then read and review the summary of the Get instructions in Figure 4-7. If you want to experiment with the get instructions a little more, take the time now to practice with the green grass proposal. Go ahead, type the new page, and then review the summary in Figure 4-7. We've spent most of this lesson getting pages. In the remainder of the lesson, we're going to discuss the instructions to move and duplicate a block of text, and then we'll discuss the instructions to delete a page and to delete a document. Turn to Figure 4-8. Review the instructions and see if you can guess how to make the revision. Go ahead. Another characteristic of long documents is that you often revise them by shifting sections or blocks from one place to another. Moving blocks of text can be easy, or it can be quite involved. For example, you could be asked to move a block of text from a page at the beginning of a document to a page at the end. You have already worked with the first part of the move instruction, so I'll describe it quickly. First, you position the cursor at the beginning of the text you want to move. Next, you press Ctrl, and without releasing Ctrl, type the letter D. The Define prompts appear across the bottom of the screen. Type the correct letters to define the word, sentence, paragraph, or text above or below the cursor. The text you define appears highlighted. Then type the letter M for move. The highlighted text will move into the system's memory and will be deleted from the screen. Once the text is in memory, the cursor moves back to the text area of the screen. The next step is to recall the defined text. If the text must be moved to a new place on the same page, position the cursor at the place where you want the text to appear, and then press Ctrl, and without releasing Ctrl, type the letter R. Control R recalls the defined block and inserts it at the cursor position. If you want to move the text to another page, enter the Get instruction for that page, position the cursor, and then press Control and R together. We'll practice the move instruction together, so begin by getting page 3 of the proposal. Go ahead. Since the cursor is already positioned at the beginning of the first paragraph, we'll define the paragraph and move it after the second paragraph. Press Ctrl, and without releasing Ctrl, type the letter D. Do that now. The Define prompts appeared across the bottom of the screen. Since we want to define the first paragraph, type the letter P. Go ahead. Notice that when you type the letter P, that the extra line between paragraphs was not highlighted. A paragraph ends at the return symbol, so to include the extra blank line, type the letter P again. Go ahead. Now look at the other prompts on the right side of the screen. These prompts describe what you are going to do with a block. We want to move it, so type the letter M. Do that now. The block has been deleted from the screen and is now in memory. Move the cursor until it's positioned on the P of the word pride. Then press Control and without releasing Control, type the letter R. Go ahead. Recall the block. There you are. By defining the block and then typing an M, you put the block into the system's memory and deleted it from the page. Once in memory, you can recall the block anywhere in the document. Now, besides moving a block from one place to another, you also can copy or duplicate a block. When you duplicate, you're telling the system to keep the block on the screen, but to make a copy of it in memory. And once it's in memory, you can recall the block as many times as you need it. The instruction for duplicating a block is similar to the instruction for moving. You define the block, then instead of typing an M, you type the letter D. The highlighting on the block disappears, but the block is not deleted. Then you position the cursor at the next place the block should appear, and press Control and the letter R together. Figure 4-9 summarizes moving and duplicating a block. We aren't going to practice duplicating a block now, but be sure you understand the information in the figure. After the lesson is over, if you would like to practice duplicating a block, use this green grass proposal or any of the other documents you created in Lesson 3. Take the time now to review Figure 4-9. Go ahead. The last instructions we're going to discuss and practice enable you to delete pages of your document. You can use the Delete utility to delete pages while you're working with a document. Or you can use the Delete instruction to delete an entire document from the diskette. We'll discuss the Delete utility first, and then we'll delete pages from the green grass proposal. Earlier in the lesson, when you practiced getting pages, you found yourself with a blank page at the end of the proposal. Just to verify this, enter the instruction to get the last page. Hold down Control and type G, then type E for ending, and press Enter. Go ahead. Is a blank page 7 on the screen? This blank page is not only unnecessary, it is also taking up and wasting space on the diskette. To delete the page, use the Delete utility. This is how it works. When you've checked through a document and have noted the pages that you should delete, press Control and without releasing Control, type the letter U. The utility prompts appear across the bottom of the screen. To select the Delete prompt, type the letter D. That brings the Delete utility menu page to the screen. Let's do this much together. Press Control and without releasing Control, type the letter U. Go ahead. Now, type the letter D. Go ahead. Below the Delete Pages title, you should see a column of numbers. These are the page numbers of the Green Grass Proposal document. Page 1.1 comes after page 1 and is followed by pages 2 through 7. If you had more pages in the document, they would be numbered here. The two prompts at the bottom of the screen ask you to identify the starting and ending page numbers of the pages you want to delete from the document. When you answer these prompts, the system will begin to delete the pages. The disk light will come on and then go off, and when you have completed the instruction, the pages you indicated will be deleted from the column above the prompts. In our case, we want to delete from page 7 to the end of the document. Answer the first prompt by typing a 7 and then pressing Enter. Do that now. Answer the second prompt by typing the letter E and then pressing Enter. Go ahead. Complete the instruction now. Page 7 is gone, and now we can press the break key to go back to the document. Press break now. Go ahead. The system returns you to page 6, the last page of the green grass proposal. When you use the delete utility, you return to the page that follows the page, or pages, that were deleted. Figure 4-10 summarizes the delete utility. Review the summary. Then we'll discuss the other delete instruction and finish up the lesson. Go ahead. Review figure 4-10 now. The last instruction we're going to work with deletes an entire document. This delete instruction works from the directory, so press Ctrl Q to display the directory. Go ahead. You're familiar with all the prompts at the bottom of the screen except delete. Now, before you press the F2 key, let me explain how the system will respond. If the cursor is positioned in the first cell of the directory, the system will ask you whether you really want to delete the contents of the diskette, and then if you type the letter Y, another message will appear asking you for the password for the diskette. Think about that. With one instruction, you can wipe out the entire diskette. We are not going to enter that instruction now. But we are going to delete some of the documents that are recorded on the diskette. When you want to delete one document, position the cursor in the cell that contains the document name and then press the F2 key. The system lists the document name and the diskette name and asks you whether you really want to delete the document. This gives you one more chance to change your mind. If you do want to delete the document, type the letter Y and the password prompt will appear. Press Enter, or type the password, and press Enter, and then the system will begin to delete the document. If you don't want to delete the document, type the letter N and the instruction is canceled. Figure 4-11 describes this delete instruction. At the end of the figure, you're told to delete the documents you created in the previous lessons, and also to delete the copy of the green grass proposal you worked with during this lesson. Review the information in the figure, and if you don't want to practice with any of these documents, delete them now. If you are going to practice, remember to delete the documents when you are finished. Review figure 4-11 and delete the documents now. Go ahead. We've come to the end of this lesson, but not the end of our work with long documents. In Lesson 5, we're going to learn how to make major revisions to a document. We'll edit the format line, reformat paragraphs, search through a document to find, delete, or replace keywords, and then rearrange pages. If you're not going to practice and are not going to begin Lesson 5 right away, select the End Session utility, remove the Scriptset diskette, and turn the system off. If you're going to begin Lesson 5 now, keep the system on and keep the directory on the screen. Remember to review the list of features and terms in Figure 4-12. Be sure you're comfortable with them before you go any further. That's it for now. See you in Lesson 5. Fast forward the tape. This is the end of Lesson 4.